as I look back at some of the charts here and you go bring it all the way back to 1932, 1950, it seems like, you know, attacks on our police, on our law enforcement officers, you never really heard that it you know, all those years, it wasn't really a big conversation because it didn't happen much. Hatred. I'm talking about people that go out and just kill people for the sport of killing them. And that seems to be where we're at today on this war on cops that is so blatant. It's so, so loud. And then when did it all start to change? Well, as I start to look at the numbers here and the timeline again, really since, again, back in the early part of the century, I mean, you there wasn't many. I mean, there was one in 1950, one in 1970, 73. But then you get to 2009. And there was October 31st, 2009, November 29th, 2009, May 20th, 2010, another one in August 2010, another one in June 2014, September 2014, December 2014, May 2015, December 2015, July 2016, July 2016, and then again just last week. Now, that's a troubling trend, people. That's something that has to get your attention because that's just data. That's facts. What's happened? What is going on with this? And why the sudden turn?
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
I mean, really, in the past, 10 years, just 10 years, we have, this is so in your face. And then, sadly, what's happened here just this past week to two deputies, two officers in Florida, Trenton, Florida, and they were out just having a bite to eat. They were out within their shift and had stopped for something to eat at a Chinese restaurant, and somebody just seen them for who they are with a uniform on, and they killed them in cold blood. I mean, no reason, no rhyme. There does seem to be a connection that we know of, and then he went out and killed himself. Now, there are people with such built-up anger and hatred that they're not only willing to take the lives of officers, but yeah, they have no problem taking their own life as well. Sick. But it's really, when you look at society and you take a look at this problem, this is a reflection on so many things. It rattles the mind. Everyone needs to stand up and be concerned with this today because this is a problem. What happens when there is no more rule of law? What happens when people stop? What happens when these young men and women don't want to get into the profession anymore? What happens when the numbers decline to such a point that it's hard to keep new officers in play? You know, I mean, is that a possibility? Well, we'll find out. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Sergeant Betsy Smith is here. Sergeant Betsy's a police officer for 29 years. She's a law enforcement trainer for over 20 years and a consultant trainer to the business. Her and her husband, Dave Smith, Buck Savage goes by, are two very really powerful voices in law enforcement and do an incredible job out there. Jennifer Breeden is here. Jennifer is president of Breeden Law International, focusing on legal consulting, international policies, special focus on human rights. And the thing, again, Jennifer understands the law and order and what that's all about. And Dr. Faye Wilson is here. Dr. Faye is an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, underdog advocate, and certainly understands what this conversation is about. We've had a lot of pretty interesting conversations over the season here, things that have surfaced around this. And you know, one of the most troubling things is the hatred for all of this. And then they, you know, to me, they want to hide it and put it into a pocket. They make this war really, then they try to make it a war about black and white, which has nothing to do with black and white. Don't have it. You know, the thing I can't convince people of is that officers are not black, white, yellow. They happen to be blue. They're brothers of all kinds, sisters of all kinds. I mean, they don't they don't just come in one flavor. They're all kinds of unique people, our police officers. You know, Sergeant Betsy will start with you, of course. And so, you know, again, I see police officers as brothers and sisters that are, you know, Americans, people out there trying to keep the rule of law in play. I don't see it as any different than that. And yet they've made it out to be a war on race. Now, this particular incident in Florida, I haven't heard anything about race on this, but God knows, give it a day or two, and that may certainly surface. Who knows? But this incident in Florida was a real troubling one again because of the ambush. They never had a chance to defend themselves or do anything. They were killed in cold blood right at that restaurant and just having a bite to eat. And when you take a look at the timeline again since 1930, I mean, it's got to be troubling to people like you and Dave and so many others in the industry, yeah?
Well, absolutely. I've got to say, on the positive end of it, the year I started in street law enforcement, 1980, we lost 104 police officers to gunfire. Now we lose about between 50 and 75. So we're actually doing a better job. But why is that? It's not because people aren't trying to kill us. It's because we have things like body armor. We have self-aid. We have better medicine. We have better training. So even though people are still trying to kill us, we're doing a better job of combating that. But what has happened since about 2009, this whole situation has been racialized. And you referenced Halloween night 2009 when Officer Tim Breton in Seattle was killed. He was killed by a guy who believed in procedural justice. And I want everyone to write that term down and look it up later, because what procedural justice says is that judges should be able to decide based on someone's race or background or whatever, that, you know, if I was raised as a white privileged woman, my life is not as valuable as someone who is raised with one parent and raised very poor. Their life is more valuable than mine. That's what procedural justice is. And that's who killed Tim Breton. And then a month later, our Lakewood 4 officers were killed by a guy who with very similar views. And that's what's been happening since then. And unfortunately, it's political, because when Barack Obama got into the White House, he brought those views with him. He had those views in Illinois when he was my senator, when I was a police officer. And that ramped up what we call the war on cops.
I knew we would have to go there, because it's clear since 08.
No other way to do it.
Yeah, 08 and 09, clearly that was the case. I mean, something has politicized this thing so badly. And I want to just also mention, Sergeant Betsy, is that when you talked about the numbers, and I'm aware of the numbers you talked about overall, when we talk about police killings and safety, security, and again, the protection that they're wearing, and we're more aware of what's going on, and yeah, overall numbers. Of course, the numbers you were talking about were not ambushes. They were just killings in general. Yeah.
Yeah, officer ambushes are up 150 to 200% at any given time. This is the thing, it's very frustrating. Our officers are ambushed, sitting in their patrol cars, or there's fake 911 calls, sitting in a restaurant, sitting chatting with another officer, trying to help someone else on a call. These are extraordinary times, and we'll tell you, and we tell our students, you know, this is the worst time in modern times that we've seen it for American law enforcement.
And that's what I see, that's what I feel, Betsy. That's exactly what I'm seeing, and it's why I'm such a voice and such an advocate for our brothers and sisters in blue, and why I do the things we do in America Out Loud. That's why it's so important to me as an individual, as it is with our military. I mean, there's a lack of respect out there for people who serve this nation, both here at home and abroad. And it's something we take very seriously. So we're talking about two different things here, people. We're talking about ambushes. I want you to understand that. It's kind of where I started the conversation. And what I was trying to do, Betsy, is draw these parallels to look back over the, well, I mean, just over the last 80 years, you understand. And, you know, we could go two decades without hearing about an ambush. I mean, this was not a commonplace thing, Betsy. I mean, which really gets into the mindset of this war we're talking about. And then you bring it back over the last 10 years, and it's become just so common theme that it's just part of the vocabulary when you talk about it. Now, but look at the numbers I just gave you. I mean, they excelled in 09. Now, what else happened in 09? I can't imagine what else happened in 09. I mean, that was the first year of a new administration who took over that was supposed to make things better. And it didn't. So, yeah, no, it's hard not to politicize this conversation because it's all about that. And politics is the underwrite. But that always seems to be the case in this country. And I don't know. It's very, very disturbing to me as a patriot. Not only this conversation, but what's happening right now in the political stream. The way they take it upon themselves to create these wars. And then it just becomes so in your face. We'll talk more about that later, but I want to stay on the ambush. Let's stay on task here, because there's a lot I could. My mind went to other places. I almost went there just a moment ago, but you know, because if you bring it into the current battle, it gets very interesting as well. And then the conversation changes dramatically. But let's stay with the ambush and what's going on with our brothers and sisters in blue. Again, I want to go to Dr. Fay next, but Sergeant Betsy, I want to say this again. I truly feel the fact that they have made this into a battle against, as they always do, which really rubs me. As you know, I am so outspoken about race. It's very disturbing to me that everything becomes a black and white issue, and I'm so tired of hearing that from people. I'm really over the top with it. And this is clearly what's happened with the war on cops, Betsy. I mean, it's not a black and white issue. It never was a black and white issue. It's about safety and security. And police officers come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. What the hell's that going to do with blacks? Going to do with that? I mean, you go out on a call one time, the guy or gal next to you could be black, white.
Well, and the thing is if we wanted to make this a racial issue,
well, they do.
Well, here's the thing, but it's all a lie. If we wanted to truly make this a factual racial issue, 40% of cop killers are black. And that holds true over the last couple of decades. So if we wanted to racialize it, then I guess you'd say every police officer out there is going to worry about black people because 40% of the time we're killed by a black person. But that's not how we do business. Justice is blind. Justice has a blindfold on. She's not supposed to peek under that blindfold. And we're supposed to treat people as individuals. The statistics year after year after year do not bear out. But and I can't just blame our politicians. I believe the biggest culprit here is the media.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no. They're definitely hand in hand in this. The media and the politicians have a pack, Betsy. They have a pack. You know, yeah. And the motive of that pack is very disturbing. But it's power at all cost. It has nothing to do with really the rule of law, and it has nothing to do with the survival and sanctity of a country, of a nation, of a great nation. It has to do with their own power and their own pet peeves and their own BS that they push around. This is a war like we've never seen before. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This war we're talking about on police officers, it's just the tip of the iceberg, people. Wake up, for heaven's sakes. Wake up. You know, I mean, it, this whole thing, and then you want to take it into the political line and talk about Democrats. I'm so tired of talking about Democrats and Republicans. Get out of here. Cats and dogs, it's all BS. It's garbage. Total garbage. What this is about, this is about the rule of law, about people who get it and people who don't give a good rat's ass. I mean, this is what they're fighting. I mean, they're fighting, fighting a lot of things. Dr. Fay, so a pretty startling opening here. But the point of ambushes and the fact that there's no respect for our law enforcement, let's stay there a moment, please. There's no respect for law enforcement. You know, it's sick and it's sad, and I know this because I can feel it and sense it when you see what the men and women have to do that fight on the streets here in America and what they have to go through. And these are our white brothers, our black brothers, our Asian brothers, our, you know, Hispanic brothers and sisters. They're all kinds of unique people. I mean, that's the whole beauty of law enforcement. It's not just one kind of person, like everything in life, you know? But yet they're being targeted. I mean, these two deputies, these two sheriff deputies in Trenton, Florida. I mean, listen to this. I mean, Noel Ramirez, 30 years old. 30 years old. Taylor Lindsay, 25 years old. I mean, these two cats were in, they hadn't even reached the prime of their life yet. And they were just shot down in cold blood, eaten at a restaurant there while serving the public. How sick is that?
It's very sick. I think it's a reminder, a strong reminder, that we have a lot of issues to work on in our country. And it is a public reminder that police officers are people too, because we think because they have a uniform on and a badge that they're not really humanized. And so when we hear of their deaths, we see posts, whether it's on Out Loud or what Randy Sutton does here on Out Loud, about people, men and women who are being shot down, and senseless murders happen every day. But when it's a police officer, it takes on a different feel, because these are our men and women who are serving us every day. These are the ones we call 911. We want them there first because we feel that they're going to protect us. I've had wonderful experiences with police officers, and I have to truly say so. And even now, Arkansas County Sheriff Department, I praise them every day for the work they're doing to help my dad, who was assaulted in his home, an 87-year-old man.
Wow.
These guys came in like the CIA. Mm-hmm. Right here in the country, they are absolutely amazing. Lieutenant Danny Ross, who's been doing an amazing job. Mm-hmm. When I look at and think about police officers across our country, mm-hmm. I think about what would it be like without them?
Right, and exactly.
Who's behind trying to eradicate them?
Well, we'll touch on that in a moment here. You know, you bring up some really good stuff there. I mean, some really good stuff. But, mm-hmm. I got to say, Dr. Fay, one of the things I want people to take note of is, like, I love the fact that we talk about the heroes here. Do you realize we gave the names of the sheriffs? You gave the names of the officers in charge there in Arkansas who are doing a great job. See, that's what I want to do. I don't ever give the names and the pictures of the criminals, the terrorists and the killers. They're not on our platform. We don't honor them, and I don't use their names. You understand? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just the way I do business. I don't care whether you like it or you don't like it, but it's the way we do business here. We're not going to honor those people, and I don't want their faces on my network. You're not going to see them. We don't put killers and terrorists and mass murders on America Out Loud. They don't exist. So you'll have to go to the others, the network propaganda network people that they all are, and look at those. And I don't use their names either. I prefer to use the names. I just call them killers, terrorists, evil people, Satanists, whatever you want to call them. I mean, but we'll give the names of the heroes and the people that really measure for something. You know, you say some really cool stuff there, Dr. Fay, about, and you're so right. When we're at that point of life, and we're at that point, you think about this, people out there. I mean, if something has hit your life, like really, really impacted you, you're in a point of mercy. Maybe someone's trying to assault you. Maybe someone's trying to rape your sister or your wife or yourself. Maybe you're at a point where you're being held up by somebody, a criminal. It could be anything, any kind of criminal activity. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? You need a police officer there. So you think about, you know, like you say, 911, Dr. Fay. Yeah, 911, and a whole lot more than that. But you're just thinking, how do we get the police here? Because we know that they are the knight in shining armor that you need to have there. They're the people who are on the front lines. They are equipped mentally, physically. They know what to do. They know how to combat. They know how to keep us safe. They're trained for this. They know how to go after that situation, whatever it might be. They're not going to go in there blindfolded. No. I mean, and they know how to deal with these. So that's what you need. At that point, no matter who you are, doesn't matter. But when something happens and you're a victim of something, who else do you call? There is only one group you're going to call, people.
That's right.
So figure it out, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where is the rule of law anymore? What happened here?
Mm-hmm. And we have to protect them because they're ours. You know, they're ours. And so as they serve us, we need to serve back and to make sure that they're safe as well.
We'll be back in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
There are those of us who really understand what life is about, and we're willing to stand up for the next one. Today on the show here, Jennifer Breeden is here, Dr. Faye Wilson, Sergeant Betsy Smith. And so we're talking about really started with this ambush of these ambushes against our men and women that serve this country that has become far too commonplace in the past 10 years, people. Just dial it back 10 years. There's been so many in the last 10 years. I gave you the numbers early on in the show, and I brought you right through from 1932 forward. And of course, Sergeant Betsy can rattle some of these off on the top of her mind because this is what she does for a living. She speaks about all this stuff, and she's a consultant and trainer to the industry. And so, yeah, she gets this conversation. She doesn't have to look at a piece of paper to give you a stat or a fact. She just knows it. Knows it from the back of her hand. Jennifer Breeden, as a woman of law, as a lady that understands law and order and is an attorney yourself and somebody who gets it and understands what this whole thing is about. So let's talk about the ambush and bring it to the court issue here that I'm speaking about. Now, there is definitely a war on cops here. It's blatant in your face. And we're not just talking about killings. I mean, killings, as Sergeant Betsy said, overall are actually down. Well, that's because law enforcement has better tools. They're smarter. They know how to combat some of this evil. And as I say, when they go into a troubled spot, they're well prepared. They don't go in there blindfolded. They know what they're doing. They know what they're up against. They know the criminal mind that it is. Absolutely. But we're talking about ambushes here. We're talking about people who just in cold blood kill somebody for the sport of doing it for whatever reason. But they just take them out because they don't like them or, you know, because they don't qualify somehow in their book of life of people. It's sick, really. When you see this escalation of ambushes and you see from 09 forward, what comes to your mind? Why have we gone so wrong?
Well, it's a great point. And I think, you know, the first point I want to make on this is that, you know, we have a society now where we have trivialized premeditated murder, not only trivialized it, but when it comes to, I mean, who the victim is, I mean, that's first degree, that's premeditated murder. It's the worst kind. And obviously all killing is bad, but I mean, we've come to a point where it depends. We now have a society that's asking itself, well, it depends on who the victim was, who was the target. And there are unfortunately some people in our society who would say that if it's a police officer, that's okay. That's okay that it was premeditated murder because it's justified and it's never justified. It's a type of crime that is never justified. When we talk about these ambushes, you know, the people that ambush, the people that end up participating in these police ambushes, they are pawns. They are the worst kind of pawns. They are pawns in a much bigger game. We've talked about this on several shows before. One in particular, one group is Jamaat al-Fukra or the Nation of Islam. So both of these groups, and I've read their training materials. I've read their materials translated from either Arabic or Urdu or something else, some other language. But their training materials say we are going to go and target Black Americans, that's African Americans, we're going to go and target Black Americans in the jails to turn them to our way of life to create chaos and target police officers. That's not only do they have Muslim Brotherhood materials on that, but some of these other groups have that, which is to say that because when you look at societies, I mean, I've traveled to the Middle East and you know, you go to these places and especially in Africa, I mean, who are the most corrupt people? The cops are in bed with government officials, with Sharia officials, and they'll take cash bribes. They'll do other things. They'll do the bidding of these groups. When have you ever in the United States heard a story of where a police officer pulled you over and you handed him $20 with a wink in your eye to get you off? You would be thrown in jail for that. And that's only in America. And that's because we don't have a corrupt system. Yes, as we've stated, there are going to be people that make mistakes, but that's not the overall system. These people, these Nation of Islam guys, these other people, they want to turn it into that system to a corrupt way that that chastises police officers, that chastises the rule of law because they don't like our rule of law. They want the United States rule of law abolished and replaced with Sharia law and an anarchist society.
Well said. I agree with that. There is a system in place here. You don't. That's not the norm here, and that does remind us, Sergeant Betsy, that America really is a special place for a whole host of reasons. But what Jennifer puts out there is a great reminder, because in a lot of countries, that doesn't exist. Even the main, right. I mean, they're all, it's so corrupt, you can pay them off, buy them off, whatever. You know, it's a pretty amazing situation that we have here.
Yeah. Malcolm, I want to speak to what Jennifer just said. And as a minister, and I've been into prisons and given talks in prisons, and I've noticed this for the past two decades, that there are men and women who've gone in prison Christian, but then they're converted inside of prison. And I've said this to many of my friends, that, you know what, there is something happening that is changing people inside of prison and their way of thinking, the way that they were brought up. And suddenly they become, not suddenly, but there's a process, that they become the nation of Islam.
Yes, ma'am.
And they become this black kind of, you know, black, everything. If you're black, then you have a right to hate, and you have a right to fight. And I know what she is saying is so true, as it is always, but I wanted to speak from a personal experience about that. And it is creating chaos, where families that were Christians are now seeing these loved ones, if they, as they come home, like, no, I don't believe in that anymore. That's the white man's religion, that kind of mindset. Yeah.
Well, and that's something we talk about in our classes. And on occasion, I'll get confronted, because we talk about exactly what you guys just said, the radicalization to the Nation of Islam in our prisons. And it's very frustrating, because, you know, then you'll have, you have, you know, I'll get called a racist. And then conversa, people say, well, then I guess we have to be careful about everybody who's black, or everybody who's a black person who's on parole. And here's the thing, and this is what frustrates me. Remember, I come from the Chicago area. And one of the things that we've seen in the last few years is the people on the south and west sides of Chicago, what the Christian churches have been doing is they hold prayer vigils for the Chicago police officers who patrol their districts. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's amazing, because people want to say, you know, well, all black people are afraid of police. Actually, I believe most black people are grateful for the police, because if you live in areas like Chicago or Baltimore or LA, where you're at the mercy of street gangs and drug dealers, who do you want to see coming? The boys and girls in blue. And a lot of our citizens, and I believe most of our citizens, appreciate us, but you don't see that in the media, and we don't hear about it. You turn on cable TV and all you see are, you know, riots and anti-cop stuff. And, you know, right now, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with Sacramento. And then before it was New York, and before it was Ferguson, where this whole, you know, riot for fun and profit thing started. And it's just incredibly frustrating. And it's all based on lies. That's what makes me crazy. It's all based on lies.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are buying into that, because the television, for many people, it represents truth. And that's sad, because psychologically, people plug into that and they think, oh, I heard that on this network, so then it must be true. No, it's not. I always say this, and I've said this on Life Liberty, is that whenever there's a push to get certain types of news out, I just think that there's someone funding it. Because I just always feel that way. I don't have my stats or anything. I just always feel that it's being funded to shift the way people think, and that people are supposed to be controlled by these powers, this force behind this, what we think is real, and that if we're not careful, we become those robots that we're busy creating. But we're controlled by this power source, whatever it is. I thought about, I just want to get this other thought. I thought about what we said earlier in the show about 40% of the ambushments are done by blacks.
The killings, not the ambushes, the killings.
The killings. And then I thought, well, 60% aren't.
Exactly.
I thought of that too.
60% aren't. And I think Betsy said it at the beginning of the show about the ambushments were up like 50%. But I looked at the National Law of Retirement Officers Memorial Fund, long title, but they said 167%.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I said about 150 to 200.
You said 150 to 200. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay, I missed the 100 part. Oh, no, yeah, that's huge.
Definitely.
That's huge.
And I would encourage people go to that. That's the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund or Officer Down Memorial page, odmp.org. People can read these statistics for themselves. And here's the thing. I believe that these ambushes we're seeing, regardless of the color of the shooter, it's the anti-police sentiment that the media puts out. This morning I woke up and what did I see? Oh, great. The police have captured the Golden State Killer after, 30 to 40 years of him terrorizing and murdering women. And what do you see? I want every one of you, when you get done, open up your phones. What do they call him? An ex-cop, an ex-policeman. Yeah. This guy was a cop for less than 2 years, 40 years ago. But they're literally showing pictures of him in his police uniform. He was fired because he was a bad cop. But no, we're going to, so now, we're getting people of color whipped up into being afraid of cops and hating cops and let's kill cops before they kill us. Now we're going to whip up women. Oh, this ex-cop, he's a rapist and a murderer of women and a torturer of women. And it's the media, because it helps further the anti-police sentiment that I'm sorry, the left, a lot of the left, wants us to believe. And now with Trump derangement syndrome, because Donald Trump is a big fan of law enforcement and always has been, oh my Lord, now we've really got to hate the police because Trump likes the police. It's just sheer insanity. And the problem is cops. And like Dr. Faye said, these are real people. These are brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters. We're not robots. And we're getting killed out there because of somebody's political agenda.
And I want to speak to the truth of these two women, and also to provide a little bit of, because I know Dr. Faye was saying with the media and Sergeant Betsy as well, that there are, these media creates these lies, it creates these stories, and we don't look into it more, but it's hard to find the statistics. Well, here's one statistic. In 1983, around that time, but in that year, for our mainstream media outlets, there were over 50 companies that supported them, that funded them. That's at least, at the very least, 10 to 50 different views, different company outlooks, other things like that. Over 50 companies that would just come together and they funded media outlets just because they just wanted news to get out. They wanted real journalism to get out. There were too many companies to have one viewpoint. Do you know what it is today? Six companies that control all of our mainstream media outlets. That is a fact. You can look it up. It went from 50 to 6, and they know each other. They work together, and it is very well documented, well educated, the way stories are written, the way things are written with certain slants, and that's why it's changed to the point that it has today. That is a real statistic, and we have to keep looking. These websites that Sergeant Betsy is bringing up, what Dr. Faye is saying, look beyond what you're just seeing. The easiest things for you to find are likely not the real story. We always have to look for truth, and we have to dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah, that is a great point, Jennifer. That is a really good point. Wow. Yeah, the media landscape has changed big time. I mean, and you just put it right out there. If you're going from 50 to 6, that's a hell of a change, isn't it? You know,
from funding, Yeah. It's all this groupthink. It's that groupthink mentality. Groupthink mentality is the worst thing in the world. And I did get angry when I saw that on the Golden State Killer, because everywhere I've wanted to read more about how he was captured, what happened, what the officers did, how much this investigation must have been ongoing. And that's all I can see is ex-cop. That's all I can see is this guy's a cop. And all I can see in my head, because this is what I do, and obviously us, women and Malcolm here in the show are a little different. I get angry because I know that can't be the real story, and I don't want to hear about that. And I'm pretty sure, because if I was to read it with no other knowledge, I would think that this was an actual police officer that was going around doing the Golden State killings and everybody was allowing him to do that.
Exactly.
That's how the story is being written right now.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the worst thing.
And it's that is so frustrating, because I was day before yesterday, I was on an airplane, and a guy sat next to me, a black guy, and we started chatting. We lived in similar areas, and you know, well-educated guy in sales, real interesting guy. And he says, "Can I ask you something?" When he found out what I did for a living, he said, "You know, don't you find it's true that most police officers start the job very, you know, enthusiastic and with good intentions, but then very quickly on the job, they learn that they have to just all stick together, and so the good cops end up becoming bad cops and protecting the other bad cops and all that." And I just looked at him. I said, Where did you get that?" And he said, "Well, I just think that's true." He said, "That's kind of what I hear in my social circles and things like that." And I said, "Boy, nothing could be more untrue." I said, "Nobody hates a bad cop more than the rest of us, than good cops." But so we had a really nice discussion. But he said, "You know," he said, "I just have learned over the years," because, you know, here he is, a middle-aged black male. He said, "to really fear the police," and he's from the Chicago area, "and believe that the police were bad and the police were going to do things to me." And he said, "because they were all dirty." And I just thought, wow, you know, here's a well-educated, well-to-do guy, and he thinks this stuff. It's very, very frustrating. I, you know, those are some of the things we need to combat, but I don't think the media is going to help us there.
I think if we're going to talk about prejudice, we need to look at that as being prejudicial.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's true, Dr. Fay. You know, unfortunately, it's not popular, but again, I've got to say, I know so many people, and largely through our churches, I've got to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's, and tell me what you think, Dr. Fay, I think that's one of the places that we can start to combat that.
Absolutely. Actually, my church, when I was living in Atlanta, I went to North Point Community Church, which is led by Andy Stanley. He's the son of Dr. Charles Stanley. And I miss it every day. Obviously, I moved in marriage, but I loved that church because he was not afraid to tackle an issue without getting political. It wasn't about left or right. It was about, what are you supposed to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? And when all the racism stuff started coming out with cops, with everything else, when it was really deep in the thick of it, we were seeing it. We saw the Dallas shooting happen. We saw all this stuff happen. I went to church that Sunday, and Andy Stanley, you know, Dr. Charles Stanley's son, he's a white guy. He's a pastor. He gets up on, there's three stools on stage, and he invites two young black men onto stage with him. And he wants both of them to talk and share their stories. And one of them, he worked with one of the Martin Luther King Foundations downtown Atlanta. I mean, this is obviously in Atlanta. He worked, was a little more, recognized the fact he was raised a little more like, I just, you know, don't trust cops. You could tell it. The other black man, I think he worked for the church. And this is before I was married. This is a good looking guy, because he sat up there with the way Dr. Fay talks, where it's almost this attractive way of like, yes, keep going. I want to get on that. I want to be a part of that movement. Where he sat there and he said, "Look, I'm going to tell you the truth. I mean, there were times where I even had friends in high school, white friends, that would make a joke at us saying, okay, we're going to go through this neighborhood. We know cops are sitting out. We're going to drive our car and you drive your car. Go the exact same speed." And then maybe he would get pulled over. And he did. He said it happened a couple times. But he goes, "But I respect our police officers. I respect our law enforcement." And when we did that, you know, they let me go and they recognized it. And they recognized it was an issue. And he's like, and I do that. I mean, that was a brave thing. So taking it back to the church, that was a Sunday message one time. You can still see it on North Point's app, this message about racism, with these two men on stage that are sharing their stories, but saying, "Look, we can recognize some things have happened, but you don't have to go all the way to the other side, and you don't have to become a pawn or listen to what others are saying to you." Because I'll tell you what, when we talk about the Nation of Islam going into jails and doing things like that, I know it's in their propaganda. I've read it, but I've also read the end goals of their propaganda. It's not about giving you more rights. It's not about helping you fight for what's yours and putting down, you know, the white man and doing everything, or helping you, you know, gain control. It's not about that. The end goal is to destroy all of us. Everything that makes us great, everything that makes this nation free, it's to destroy it. And you are a pawn in that game. That's what their goal is. Yeah. And that's why I love, you know, the church has to tackle these issues and has to be bold about it. And I'm so happy when I see churches becoming more bold and less afraid of tackling issues that are controversial, but truly doing it, not from a political basis, from a basis of biblical truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did a special segment on the prisons and what was going going on in the prisons this past year sometime, Jennifer, and it really is an eye-opener, what's happening in the prisons and the conversion of people, as you say, to Islam, and again, this hatred, which again, the ultimate goal, you just said, it's not a goal that sounds really good, but they do want to, they want you dead, basically. It does ratchet it up, doesn't it? It brings it right into a religious fight, a fight for survival, really. Boy, that's a fight we have every day in America. Out loud, guys, I got to tell you, I mean... We have, we're bringing it there. I mean, Jennifer, you see, you know, many of the experts around the world who talk about this topic, a subject matter you bring up, you know. It's a root cause to some of the hatred we're talking about here, because they've joined forces is what they've done in the front lines. And they've joined forces with the whole Black Lives Matter movement and this evil movement to kill cops and their language, and how could anybody support them, any media outlet, when you hear what they're saying? The fact that, and I've brought that up on previous shows, the way they want dead cops and they want to cook them up in a pan and so on and so forth. I mean, the things they've said are, you don't have to have an imagination to figure out, you know, what's happening there. Yeah, very interesting. And the Golden State Killer is a very interesting point you all bring up that is all over the news right now. And also, what also feeds into this narrative, I think you all can see right now on the national scope at this very moment, is another very hot topic, Kanye West. back to no group think and all what that means. So here's a man who has really upset the apple cart a bit here, and they don't really know what to do with him. In fact, I would imagine he's probably a big threat. He should be real careful for his, his safety, because again, there is a movement here, and there are powers to be. There's a lot of connecting of dots here, people. You have to pay attention and really understand the motives of what's going on. And it's not always the paid sources, like Dr. Fay. You say, well, who's funding this? It always feels like, sure, that's a piece of it, but it's not even all that. It's the way they think at that level, and it's what they want to change in society, and they're willing to go to any lengths to do that. I mean, they'll go anywhere to do that. So when you see all the media changes, as Jennifer points out, the 50 to 6, and there are less sources out there, so what are they feeding people? So right now, with Kanye West, they don't know what to do with him, because he's the guy who's supposed to be to the left, and he's supposed to have all that fan base, and now he's saying things that go completely against all that. So now the media, they can't put him in their fancy little box, you understand? And none of it's a conspiracy. It's real life. We'll have more real life in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So we're talking today about this bigger story about the war on cops, the ambush against our police officers, the men and women who serve this country. And this is really domestically where the rule of law starts and stops. I mean, you know, this is domestic terror. I mean, this is anything that's happening on your street corner in your neighborhood. It's the police you call. It's the law enforcement office. It's the local sheriff. It's somebody who is there to serve and protect. Those are the people you call. That's what we all count on, as we've been talking about and unpeeling this onion here. There's a lot of hatred at the top here. But again, why does this information get out? Sergeant Betsy Smith is here, Jennifer Breeden, Dr. Faye Wilson. Very interesting conversations that you really have to follow here, but Jennifer brings up, again, some really good points about the prisons and the Nation of Islam and what their objectives are. Sergeant Betsy brought up a very interesting thing about the Golden State Killer and how the media went back and sourced something that happened a long time ago in a very short span he had, and now they're making this killer out to be a cop. Which is really what you would know if you read any story right now, the Golden State Killer and what had just happened. That's what you would believe, as Jennifer just said and verified that. And she's absolutely right. That's all you would know. That's all you would believe, because that's what they want. So we come back to the point of why is this happening? What hand does the media have in this? So the media is, I guess, become really the biggest evil in the room, which really makes our job really that much more vital and that much more important, doesn't it? Right?
Well, it absolutely does. There's got to be truth out there. And truth is very difficult to find when it comes to these officer-involved shootings, when it comes to police procedure. I mean, every one of these shootings is fact-based, and now almost every police department has dash cams and body cams. And, again, we can go to the most recent one, Sacramento, where, yes, two Sacramento police officers killed an unarmed black man. But you look at the multiple video, you look at the actual facts, and you understand how law enforcement works, mm-hmm. why he was shot and killed, and the police did not murder him, and he wasn't, you Google that story right now and you mm-hmm. read that he was like barbecuing in his grandma's backyard and the police just came and murdered him, and that's right. not true. He had just gotten out of jail. He was committing car burglaries and jumping through fences. He was being chased by the police and by the helicopter. All he had to do, and that's the case mm-hmm. in most of these cases, all he had to do was comply, was to stop, put his hands up, explain to the police what he was doing. But instead, he put his cell phone in his hand, turned around, advanced toward the officers, mm-hmm. acted like he was going to shoot him. And this is what especially these young men are being taught, and young women too. They're being taught to mm-hmm. resist the police. You don't have to listen. You don't have to comply. You go back to almost every police shooting of somebody, even in fact, let's just look at the unarmed, if you will, ones. Every single one of them, if they had just complied with lawful orders to stop, every single one of them, Mike Brown and Eric Garner and everybody, would be alive today. And that's what we need to do. We need to go back to teach that. Comply with lawful orders. If you don't like what the police are doing, complain. All right. Later.
I want to ask you something, Sergeant Betsy, about, since you brought up Sacramento, something's been bothering me about that case, and I hear what you bring up about the phone. We know the story. He had a smartphone in his hand and not a gun, and they couldn't see. It was very, very dark, and they knew, the guy was not a choir boy. We get that. He had a past and a history, so they knew what they were dealing with, and then you realize that cops realize, well, he may have an unarmed weapon if he's a criminal-minded person. Okay, got it. So, but why so many shots? There were like over 20 shots or something fired, and he had so many bullets in him. What the hell is that all about? I don't understand.
The way that we use mm-hmm. deadly force yeah. is we used to do something called shoot, tune, and evaluate. You do bang, bang, and then look down the barrel of your gun and see if they were moving. What we found out, go back to Florida, to the FBI shooting 30 years ago. Two FBI agents were murdered by two men who had already killed two other FBI agents, but both of those killers were mortally wounded. In other words, they were dying, but while they were dying, they were still able to pull the trigger on their guns and shoot the cops. Here's what happens with the human body, and you've got to understand wound ballistics, and I'm not going to get into all that, but just because you have a non-survivable gunshot wound doesn't mean you stop. It's not TV. I can put 10 rounds into somebody, and there's lots of cases where this has happened, 10 rounds into a bad guy, they've still killed cops or killed other people. The human body is incredibly resilient. And remember, we're just shooting, probably 40 cal or 9 millimeters, and just because somebody is shot doesn't mean they're going to stop.
So in other words, the rule of engagement is they just keep shooting and shooting until there is...
stop the threat.
There's right. no until there's no movement.
Right. Yeah, you shoot until they stop. So and that's why, many of the rounds that went into that man mm-hmm. were in his back. That's because he's starting to turn. And this is the thing. I wish everyone in the media, I would encourage, first of all, every citizen to go through your local citizen police academy so that you can see how this stuff works. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage every media person to go through simulation training at your local police department and see how this stuff works. It's not TV. Mm-hmm. And when we're out there, in Sacramento, those guys are out there, jumping over fences and chasing this guy and the helicopters there. And it's scary because you know what? We don't want to die. I want to go home to my family.
Right.
I spent 29 years worrying about, am I going to go home to my kids? And that's what we do. We want to go home just like you do. So just comply.
Right.
And then if you don't like what I did, complain.
Right. Okay, so I hear you now. Thank you for qualifying that. And I want to ask you something, Dr. Faye, please, on that point, just so we don't leave that point yet, please. We had talked about the Sacramento riots and what have you on a previous show that you were on, and Sergeant Betsy was not on that conversation, as I recall, but the case had come up and we had touched on it or what have you. And I know you were, you know, at the moment when we were talking about it, with obviously void of the feedback that Sergeant Betsy just provided to all of us, but you were pretty offended, as many were on that particular show, as rightfully so, I think, that there were that many. It seems very egregious what had happened against this killer, this young this young guy again who they were chasing, who had the phone, who had no gun, and you thought, well, that's excessive. That sounds excessive. Now, I want to ask you, Dr. Faye, is that just a matter of the lack of education from all of us, as Sergeant Betsy puts out there? Or do you think there's more to the story? Is that possible? I mean, or you know what I'm asking? I mean,
I think it's both.
You think it's both?
I think it's both.
What does that mean?
I think it's a lack of education. Mm-hmm. And there could be more to the story. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there. So all I know is, all we know is what is told us, what's given to us in the media, and that it appears to be excessive. But based on what Sergeant Betsy has just said.
Yeah, she didn't write the report that was in the media, clearly, because, as we said, the media is corrupt and they have an agenda, clearly. So
exactly.
We know that. Yeah, yeah,
Exactly. But I think, and I was thinking about this through the other conversations that we've had, is that we may not be able to change the mindset of this generation, the adult, but we need to start focusing on our children.
Mm-hmm.
And start bringing education and have officers like they did when I was a child, the police officers come in the classroom and help to connect with the children, because I heard a 7-year-old make this statement. She said, "I hate cops." I went, "Whoa, why do you hate cops?" "Because they arrested my daddy."
Got it. Yeah. Well, that's all she would know. What would a 7-year know that's any different than that? You know, come on. You know,
that's where education comes in.
Exactly.
Well, totally. And this is the thing, and I've done that hundreds of times. Yeah. You know, that's why we always joke with the firemen. You know, you guys save Daddy, we take him to jail.
Right.
You know, we're not the most popular people.
No. In those, unless you're saving somebody's life, Sergeant Betsy, then you're very popular. Or if you're there when they need you, then you're very popular. You understand? Yeah.
Right.
It works that way, love. Then you're really the charm of the class. But when it's not that way and it's controversial, you have somebody that's has nefarious means involved, then no, you're not going to be popular at all. I just wonder, with that case out of Sacramento, and just one simple question, just give me a simple answer back. If that young kid who had the phone that evening and was doing all that was a white kid, would it have been the same reaction?
No, nobody would care.
Right. So there wouldn't have been. And would the police have shot as many times?
Yes. We don't care what color you are.
I understand.
You know, we just don't want to die.
Right. And I wanted to hear you say that, so thank you. I wanted to hear what you were going to say, but I knew the answer, but I wanted to hear you say that. So very interesting. With all the moving pieces here and all, I think we're just at a very interesting moment. We've unveiled some very interesting things in this conversation, ladies, that I think has just been awesome. But I think it's been a very interesting. Jennifer, let's get the last word or so with you a moment here, because this has really been a very interesting conversation. It doesn't get any more, really, if you play this back, and it doesn't get too much more profound than what we've uncovered here and what we've talked about. We've unveiled the fact that, you know, as you said, the Nation of Islam is a real problem. The court, the jails, the prisons, what's happening there, a real problem. Nobody's paying attention to that. Absolutely, that's a big, big problem. You're 100%, 1,000,000% right. What's going on in the media sources, the 56, amazing data you throw out there. You're absolutely right. the Golden State Killer, what's happened there, Sergeant Betsy, is just unbelievable, which just goes to the facts of what we're telling you people out there. You know, the proof is what we've just talked about here. And I love Dr. Faye's contributions here in this particular conversation all the way through. Everything she has said and standing up for the rule of law and the difference between right and wrong is amazing. So, Jennifer, what's the takeaway from this entire conversation? Give me 60 seconds, but give me the takeaway, yes, please.
All right, a couple of things here. One, I don't know the race of those who are involved in the ambushes, but I have personally experienced that there are also white people engaging in these ambushes, thinking that that's their way to stand
Absolutely.
Up for civil rights, becoming a pawn to this violence. But another thing is, I was present to a court case that was about a human sex trafficker, a gorilla pimp, who would pick up these girls on the side of the road. He would name, he would make them believe they were his girlfriends, would name them, you know, top bitch to bitch two to bitch three. And I'm sorry for the language, but that's what they're called. And they pick up other girls and he delivers them to houses. This man was about to get off. He was about to get off on technicalities. All the girls had been threatened, so none of them wanted to testify in court. And it was a police officer, Detective Tamara Remington, with 30 years in office, who could sit there and explain to the jury she had nothing against anybody as an individual. It didn't matter the color of their skin, anything else. This is what sex traffickers do. And because of that police officer, because of Tamara Remington having the courage to stand up and face this pimp in the eye and explain what trafficking does to these young girls, she was this guy was convicted, and he's going away for 30 years because of that. Without that, there were 20 women he was dropping off at doorways to have sex in exchange for money. And he was taking these little girls from their parents. And so that's just one story of many stories. And, and the takeaway from this conversation is that without her, without police officers, without Sergeant Betsy, without even Dr. Faye to explain truth and to educate, we are not going to have that. And men like that are going to be the least of our concerns around this country with our children.
Yeah, the criminal mind is as devious as could possibly be. And as always is the case, people, I mean, not everybody is going to be as you and I are, and as we all here are, very reasonably minded, concerned people, patriots, people who care about life, liberty, and people who care about the rule of law, in that we all have a fair shot here and an opportunity to move forward. Nothing is worse than to see some of the people who are brutally murdered out there and lives that are cut short and things that are happening. It really makes me sick, I tell you. Truly, it impacts me as a man here. It's I'm stopped in my tracks on a regular basis. And it's not lost on me. I'm insulted often by this human race that we have here and what they do to each other. Again, I say to you all the time, life is a gift. The human species is a very strange group. You can't figure it out, people. But how some of us, can go to this, really appreciate and value life, and how others can just blow it away in a heartbeat of a moment. There's a lot of truth here. A lot of truth with this conversation. We have just an absolutely extraordinary, group of experts back at America Out Loud. I'd say it's the one proudest moment and aspect of this whole plan here of what America Out Loud is our experts. It's our voices. It's our people who are passionate, who truly care, who are out to do it. And we're all patriots. We're all, we're committing our lives and our voices and the written word and our voices and all of it to really justice and what's right. That's what we're all about here at America Out Loud. So thank you always for being part of this. And it is a place you can count on. And rest assured and know that we're here for the right reasons. And we're here for you as well to protect that. So our email address is talk@AmericaOutLoud.com. talk@AmericaOutLoud.com. We invite you in, of course, and stay connected with us and close. So I thank you for being part of this conversation today. Sergeant Betsy Smith, Jennifer Breeden, Dr. Faye Wilson. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.